PSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. The conflict in Ukraine, the conflict in Israel, Middle East, a two-war Eurasian battlefront. And we look now to the players on the outside looking in, the two most populous states in Eurasia, India and China. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang joins me as my colleague and co-host. And we're very pleased to be joined by Kamran Bokhari, Senior Director, Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio of the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy. Kamran, we start with China. China has been allied with Russia in the Ukraine war. We have that as a fact. Mr. Putin is said to be scheduled to sit with Xi Jinping in Beijing momentarily. However, now there is a Middle East war of uncertain direction and length. Jerusalem calls it a long war. And the commentary right now is identifying China as sitting on the fence. Does that metaphor work, Kamran? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So look, China is looking at this and saying more problems for the U.S. means, you know, a good thing for Beijing. But the question is, how does Beijing leverage this opportunity to get what it wants from the United States? The Chinese economy isn't doing well. It's actually getting worse if we go by reports of what's happening in the real estate market. And you're also looking at social unrest, which is also translating into political problems for Xi. So what do the Chinese need? The Chinese need some form of an understanding with the United States where the U.S. pressure economically on them is reduced. How do they do that? Well, they say, look, you guys have a war going on. And, if you want us to help resolve this, it's not going to be for free. So let's cut a deal. We help you bring this conflict in the Middle East to an end. We have influence over the Iranians. At the very least, we won't be fanning, the flames of, the anti-Israeli sentiment. You saw that Mr. Wang Yi, the foreign minister of China, talking about, how the Palestinian conflict needs to be resolved and there needs to be justice. That's basically saying that you wanted us to support Israel, where we're not going to do it. And if you want our cooperation, then let's talk about our existing conversations with all the visits by U.S. officials to China, with Senator Chuck Schumer being the latest one leading a delegation, actually meeting Xi. And before that, Secretary Blinken, the Fed Reserve Chairwoman Janet Yellen. You had Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo and John Kerry on climate change. And we've just been having lots of diplomacy going on. So the Chinese need to have some easing of American pressure on China because their economy isn't doing well. And they're going to leverage this Middle Eastern conflict towards that end.
Gordon, you have a question for Kamran.
Kamran, there is some evidence that China has ramped up oil purchases from Iran. It would seem that Chinese weapons are starting to show up on the battlefield, though there is some doubt about that. But clearly North Korean weapons are on the battlefield, and they couldn't have gotten there without China's assistance. When is the United States going to recognize that China is supporting Iran and Iran is supporting Hamas, and that China is on the other side of this, and that it is not possible to obtain constructive activity on the part of the Chinese, at least over the long term?
You're absolutely right. Look, I don't think that it's an issue of recognition. I think Washington understands what's going on. It's just, there's just so much happening. I mean, keep in mind that until October 7, the focus of the U.S. was, well, we're in talks with the Chinese. We need to stay the course in Ukraine and make sure Putin is kept in check. All of that has been offset with this other war. And right now, ultimately, China has there is no good solution for China right now. The ultimate solution, at least not in the short term. So what is the U.S. doing is going for sort of the, can we put out the fire that's been lit in the Middle East. And can the Chinese help us? Maybe, maybe not. But I think that Russia probably has a bigger role to play. And I think that the United States is probably going to negotiate with Russia more so than with China on this particular issue.
India, Cameron, during the first Cold War or the Cold War of the 20th century, India was understood as to be non-aligned. However, now that the war in the Middle East is requiring India's attention, the history, recent history, is that India works very closely and happily with Israel, especially with armaments. Is there any reason to think that that will change as this war, called a long war, goes forward?
No, I don't think so. I think that the Indians are tightly aligned with the Israelis. You've already pointed out the relationship that's been developing in recent years in the defense sector, intelligence sharing. And then we have, the U2-I2 or the I2-U2 alignment, Israel, India, United States, and UAE. India is developing a close relationship with the Gulf states and has been for several years now. So I think that on one hand, India is in this conflict, it's going to be aligned with Israel, but with an eye on what the mood is in the Persian Gulf or the Arabian Gulf in terms of what Riyadh and what Abu Dhabi are thinking and what do they need, because they're allies too of the South, of the Indians. But look, ideologically, the current Indian government is also right wing. And so is at least, well, we can't say that for the unity government that's been formed after the Hamas attack and with the outbreak of war, but at least Prime Minister Netanyahu and his political coalition are far right. So there's a meeting of minds ideologically. They both have a problem with Islamist extremism, albeit the Islamist extremism that the Israelis deal with represents different actors than the ones that the Indians deal with. So so there, you have a basis for broader cooperation. And at this point in time, I think the Saudis and the Emiratis also are sick of Iran being able to exploit Hamas, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict by aligning with Hamas, by aligning with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Hezbollah is in the mix. And so there may be some, it may not be sort of either or that, hey, you got to work either with Saudi or UAE or Israel. I think there's not a whole lot of sort of gap there in terms of policy, articulation or balancing of priorities there.
Gordon, you have a question.
Cameron, is the Middle East too complex to manage?
It is complex, but I one of the things that, that one of the problems is that Iran is a revisionist power. Hamas is also a revisionist actor. Hezbollah is also a revisionist actor. They are trying to alter the regional security architecture, which means that they are trying to sow chaos. That's easy to do, relatively easy to do, as opposed to maintaining a rules-based order. And especially when you have the Palestinian issue burning and a long-standing occupation of the Palestinian and their territories by Israel, that gives the Iranians and their allies a lot of room to maneuver. And so we're only a heartbeat away in many ways from the next conflict, which was apparent. And which has been apparent since 2008 with all the Gaza wars. And this one is in a league of its own. So I think we're in a different situation right now. I think we're not looking at just another, Israeli-Palestinian flare-up. I think this is a regional war. And I think what has happened, the unprecedented scale of the attack and the tradecraft displayed by Hamas, has brought the risk of a broader Israeli-Iranian confrontation, that's increased substantially.
And Cameron, final less than a minute. India right now, does it still remain adamant in opposing China? Has there been any change since we last talked? Any softening at all? 30 seconds.
No, because the Chinese occupy Indian territory and they have more designs on Indian territory. So I don't think that the Indians are going to soften up. Are they going to become aggressive? No, they're playing defense. And they need to be watchful of that. They're in a very uncomfortable spot between the United States and China in that broader great power competition. And therefore, they can't afford to soften up. Obviously, they have trade relations. Obviously, it's not a completely hostile relationship. But I think that there's just no reason yet, nothing from the Chinese that says India should soften up.
Cameron Belkare, Senior Director, Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio, New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy, the world's most populous states, two of them, and the new war in Eurasia. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.